Good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship. It's good to come and melt together this morning. But we're here, and we're here with our friends on Zoom to come as worshippers and to bring ourselves to worship our Lord. And this morning we're going to think about the power to stand. And as I say, at the moment I think most of us just would much rather be sitting or lying down, but we're going to think about standing. And some of you might watch the One Show with the One Big Thank You that they do on a Thursday, thanking people in the community for something that they've done. But one of the things, as they're talking about the thing that the person or the persons have done, is that I often hear the phrase, they gave everything that they had, or everything that they have, because most of the work is still carrying on. And that's what I want us to think about, giving everything that we have. I'm just going to read a few words from Psalm 34, Psalm of David. And as we think about the power of a name, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes it boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round those who fear him, and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the person who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And it finishes, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him or them out of them all. Let's sing together, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, 560.
Thank you.
Let's come together in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet together to come and to praise and give thanks. Lord, as we've just been thinking about calling out to you in times of need, we thank you that you are a God who listens. You are a God who wants to have that relationship with your people. And so, Lord, we come this morning in our own individual ways to give you thanks for the week that has gone and to ask, Lord, that you would be with us in the week that is to come. We thank you, Lord, that you have placed your healing hand upon those who have been unwell over these last weeks. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to do that. Lord, we thank you that as we even just speak your name, that our hearts just leap for joy inside us as we think of all the wonders that you have given to us. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all he means to each one of us. We thank you that he is the gate, that he opened the way to you. Lord, that no longer would we have to do things, Lord, that became habitual, but that we could just come and be in your presence and know, Lord, that you love to hear our voices. Lord, we praise you for the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit that dwells in the hearts of your believers, that shows us your way, that helps us, that comforts us when we are feeling low. We thank you, Lord, that you have thought of everything. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would come to you first in all things. Lord, you ask us as your people to witness to the name and the power of Jesus. And as we've been thinking already, Lord, about the early church, Lord, we pray that we would get back to the way that they wanted to just tell what you have done in their lives, Lord. And we know that for many of them that they would have seen you literally face to face. But Lord, we know that through your Holy Spirit, we can meet with the living Lord. And so we give you thanks and praise. Lord, give us the strength to stand when we feel intimidated, when we have apathy, when we feel tired from all that life throws at us. Lord, when you hear our prayers and when you respond, may the first thing on our lips be your praise. We would praise your holy name. Heavenly Father, we pray for our world. We pray for that peace that only comes from you. We pray for the end of wars and conflicts and arguments and greed and destruction. All the things, Lord, that make our hearts cry, what must you be thinking? Lord, we pray for our town, for our community. Show us your way, Lord, as we stand as witnesses to your power and your grace. Lord, we pray for those who are grieving this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are there to hold our hands during that time. Lord, we ask too that you would place your healing hand upon those who need it. Lord, that we would come expectantly. Lord, help us. Help us in our prayers to expect far more than we could ever ask for, knowing with confidence, Lord, that you will deliver, if it is your will and your purpose. But Lord, as we continue our act of worship this morning, Lord, each one of us are witnesses to you. May we continue to praise and thank you in all things. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. And as we continue to think about the power that there is in Jesus' name, we'll sing together number 233, the chorus 233, His name is higher than any other. His name is Jesus, His name is Lord, and we're going to sing it through twice. Thank you. So if ever you don't know what to pray and praise, just sing that chorus to yourself, because it covers everything and certainly ties in well with what we're going to speak about this morning. So those of you that have left your bookmarks in your Bibles from previous weeks, obviously not last week, we're in Acts, Acts of the Apostles, and on page 1094, looking at Acts chapter 3 this morning. And as I said a few weeks ago, we'll go through Acts where our Lord leads us. And this morning we're going to look at the first half of the chapter that talks about Peter healing a lame beggar. And this illustrates one of the wonders and signs that the apostles performed after receiving the Holy Spirit. If you remember a few weeks back, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit at the back end of chapter 2. And I love the way that Luke writes this narrative, because you feel like you're there, don't you? They're going about their ordinary business. They're going to the temple to pray. That's, as Jews, is what Peter and John would have done. And they find a lame beggar to help. And we know that they're now specially empowered followers of Jesus. And so the healing of the man will become a second nature. But we also think back to chapter 1, when Jesus calls his disciples to be witnesses to him. And by healing this man, the act validates Peter's status as witness to Jesus. And if we were to read later on into that chapter, he gives another sermon with an explanation that ties the event to Jesus' call to repentance. But also, the act catches the attention of the Sanhedrin and starts the long road of church persecution. And we'll think about that when we get to chapter 4. So we're on page 10,094, Acts 1, Acts 3, verses 1 to 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping, some versions say leaping, and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. It's probably quite familiar to many of you, as is the next song that we're going to sing. Feel free to walk and leap if you want to. 598, as a reminder of what we've just read. Peter and John went to pray, and we'll sing. There wasn't a lot of walking and leaping, bit of swaying. Too hot. Yes, sorry God, it was too hot to praise you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together and read your word and listen to the word that you have for each one of us. Lord, open our hearts to hear you now. Lord, may we be truly focused on you and you alone. Lord, when they said, "Look at us," may we look to you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The power to stand. That reading and that song, and I know it's probably one that I've sung at Sunday school, which is why I always smile inwardly whenever I sing it. But it says, as that saying goes, exactly what it says on the tin, doesn't it? It does what it says. You know, you can feel it, can't you? You can feel the excitement. Well, unless you're complete cyborgs, then, with no human emotions. But it does. It makes you smile, being able to visualize, to be part of the story. Or we say, if you're hearing or reading something, be part of it, whichever part you want to be. You can be the person who passes by. You can be somebody who's part of the temple. You can be part of the story. But just think about what it must have meant. And I know we're in the midst of a heat wave, but as I say, I'm going to encourage you to walk and to leap and to praise as much as you want, because we're going to think about power this morning. We're going to think about the name of Jesus, and that all that we have, do we give in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So we see a lame beggar doing what he always does, what he usually did, expecting no more than he usually got. It's that phrase, isn't it? If you don't ask for it, you won't get it. And that day was going to be the change of his life. Do we get up in the morning thinking, today's the day that my life is going to change? Or do we get up and look at the washing up and go, nope, still there? But it's like us, isn't it? You know, do we actually get up in the morning and think today is going to be different, depending on our circumstances and situations, but also what we say to God in prayer? As I said before, if you remember in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost was a day like no other in the life of God's people. The Holy Spirit had descended and the disciples began to speak in other languages. They were giving out that message of the mighty works of God through Jesus Christ. And in answer to the questions and the comments from the crowd, and there would have been loads, Peter preaches a sermon explaining all that it means. And as we got to the end of chapter 2, we saw that he calls them to repentance. Isn't that what the world needs now? And 3,000 souls are saved. And so last time we saw the New Testament church being born. And we see that Luke writes in the same way. So Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles in the same way that he wrote his gospel. We see that it's comprised of an event and then Peter's explanation of the event in the form of a speech or a sermon, use whichever word you want. The event is the lame man being healed in Jesus' name, and the explanation is Peter's sermon preached in the temple. And I think the lovely thing as we read this text, and each of you will get different things from it, but that Jesus gives the faith he requires to believe on his name in order to receive his gift of salvation. Jesus gives the faith he requires. It's nothing that each one of us can do. He gives it to us. For those of us that perhaps have been Christians for a while, I'm sure that some of us perhaps can think back to the days when we were just trying to figure out what being a Christian meant. You look around church, don't you, and you think, okay, who's the most Christian dude in this congregation? I'm going to look to them. And then you realize that it's not actually the same for everybody, that God leads us in different directions. God's faith in us shows itself in so many different ways. And I'm not saying don't look to the most Christian dude in the congregation. But what I'm saying is let God work through you. Because we have preconceived ideas of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be believers, what it's going to be like to be a follower of God, of Jesus. If I asked you the question, has it ever worked out in the way that you thought? What would I hear or see? I'm seeing lots of shaking heads, shruggy shoulders. It's not, is it? If you think back to when you first came to faith and you thought, this is what I'm going to do with God, and then God goes, nah, you're going to do what I say. And it's great because God takes us to the places in our Christian lives that we never thought we'd go or that we'd ever be able to do. And that's exciting, isn't it? Be excited. But as we get back to the story, in the first few verses, we see the man asking for money. And we read about him and we can kind of visualize his story, can't we? You know, perhaps we can think about the people that we see begging today on the streets. We don't know their situations or their circumstances. I'm sure often we make judgments about why they're there. But at the end of the day, they're there for a reason. And it's not for us to judge people. It's for us to show the love of Christ. He'd grown accustomed to a certain way of life. It says, doesn't it? He was lame from birth. He never knew what it was to walk in all his life. And so his family would have to have done everything for him. We see that he was brought to the temple gate. He'd never learned to walk, and his legs were deformed. We get that from when we read later on in the encounter. And when he sees Peter and John that day, I'm sure he thought he would knew what would take place, what would happen. Because as far as he was concerned, it's the same as any other day. This is what I do, this is what's going to happen, and then I'll go home. And so he was carried to the gate called Beautiful at the temple. And as worshippers would come and go, he would ask them if they could spare a coin or two. Or alms actually means either monetary or goods. So it could be like nowadays when we put cans into one can and other charities like that. But over these years, he was proficient at asking or begging for money. It's all he'd ever done. It's all he thought he could do. He thought that money was the greatest need in his life. He thought that he would be on the mat for the rest of his life. He thought that things would always be the same as they are now. And so he never gave other things much thought, because lying on the mat was all he'd ever known. It's like us, isn't it? Sometimes we make the same mistake, thinking that this is all that it's going to be because this is all that we've ever known. Perhaps we do the same thing. If only we had more money or more stuff in our lives, then they would be so much better. But the truth is, money isn't our greatest need, and it wasn't his either. If you remember when we looked at Joel a few weeks ago and the prophecy that he had, we were reminded that our greatest need is to have an exciting relationship with God through Jesus Christ. What this man received, namely Jesus Christ, and healing, was far greater than anything that he could ever receive. And so we see how this happened in the ordinary. That's what I always say, we can encounter God in the ordinary and he'll do the extraordinary. Peter and John going to the temple to pray, which is interesting because when you think about what Jesus had said to them, he'd actually declared himself to be the temple, the place where humankind could access God the Father. But we see that they're still in that customary practice. And they hadn't quite yet disengaged their practice of regular prayer at the temple. They were going at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to the prayer meeting. And you can see the picture, can't you? You can see the man, you know, waving them over or whatever gesture he makes before he speaks. But we also think about that 3 p.m. or the ninth hour was the time for sacrifices to be made. This was a perfect time to be in the temple, reflecting upon the ultimate sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And so he began to ask them for something. He'd been there many times before. And we don't know for sure, but it's not that long after Jesus himself would have been in and around the temple. He may have been there when Jesus walked by on one of the days that he was there. He might even have seen the disciples before, because they had regularly gone in and out of the temple. We don't know for sure, and it's perhaps you'll say, well, you're reading too much into it, but why not? Why may he not have seen them before? But this day was going to be different from all the rest. So we read in 4 and 5 that he was expecting money. He expects to receive a spare coin or two. He probably already had his hand out in expectation, thinking that Peter or John would just drop a coin into his hand out of pity for his condition. Can you see the look on his face when Peter just says, nah, not today. We're not going to give you any money today, because we have something far more important for you. What do you think that the man looked? A bit confused? Do you think he just turned his face away? And said, well, if you're not going to give me any, I'll look to him over there, because, you know, Brian's much more generous than Kathy. Or not. But you can just imagine the encounter, can't you? At that point, you know, he's sitting on his mat, and he obviously looks away, doesn't he? Because if we read the narrative, you know, it says, you know, Peter says, look at us. So he's turned his face away. He's like, you're not going to give me any, I'll go over there. And it's such an emphatic request, isn't it? And you can read what you want to into the narrative. But I can imagine that he was like, you know, look at me. You know, how dare you turn your face away when I have got so much more to give you. He wants him to pay attention. He wants him to listen clearly. You know when someone's not listening to you, don't you? Just looking. But no, seriously, you do, don't you? You know when someone's eyes glaze over or their head turns, and it's not just husbands and wives, it happens to the best of us. But you know, you do turn your way, don't you? And think, oh, well, I'll look over there then. And so Luke records that the lame man fixed his attention on them. But I think he probably still expected to receive money. But what did he receive? As we read verse 6, he received faith, he received health, he received life. It's better than a coin or two, isn't it? Peter begins by stating that he doesn't have any money to give. You can probably assume, to be honest, that the disciples had less money than the man that was begging. But also, does the work of God depend on money? How often do we think if we've got loads of money in the coffers, we can do so much more? Truth is it's not about the money. It's about what we have, all that we have. That one big thank you. Peter tells the man that he possesses something else, something of a much greater value. This commodity of infinite worth is free for all who have faith. And so what Peter's saying is, what you really need is what I have. And so Peter and John are willing to give this man what Jesus first gave them. They had Jesus. They had the power of Jesus in them, the name of Jesus. And the second thing then would bring the healing that the man needed. And we read, don't we? And if you read later on into chapter 3 a bit more, it tells us quite clearly it's not Peter and John who heal the man, but it comes from Jesus himself sitting on his throne in heaven. Jesus heals the man through his Holy Spirit. If you go on to verse 12 and to 16, you know, he says we didn't heal anybody. Jesus healed him, and he even gave him the faith that he needed to be healed. He believed in the name that Christ of Christ, and Christ gave him the faith and healed him. We read, don't we, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And that's what we need to remember. It's nothing we do. It's what God does through us. And that's why we should give all the praise and thanks back to God. Peter is adamantly opposing, and you can see his words get stronger and stronger as we read into chapter 3, that it is God. It's so amazing, isn't it, that God wants to save us and even gives us the faith that he requires. We ourselves can never, ever produce enough. It's through God's goodness and grace, the gift of salvation, which includes the gift of faith. And as we get to verses 7 to 10, we see the walking and leaping and praising God. We were thinking about God speaking to us through dreams on Friday. And I just wondered as I was reading this passage, I wonder if the man had ever dreamed about walking and leaping. At that point, we understand that he didn't know much about God. We don't know what he listened to when people came in and out of temple. Might be the same as people listen when we come in and out of church. Did he know God? Did he not know God? But we know that God made sure he knew God before he was healed. I like to think that the man did wonder what it must be like and perhaps dream that one day it would happen. Here God has done something entirely unexpected. That day, God determined to heal the man physically as he usually accomplished his healings that require faith. And so that the man came to trust God so much more. And we see those similarities in the way that Luke writes from, if you look at his gospel, the way that Jesus healed right at the very beginning of the gospels. We see how Jesus took Peter's mother-in-law by the right hand and helped her to her feet. We see the same action with Peter. We often read throughout Luke's healings, he uses the word immediately. So as soon as the person is healed, immediately, it's like, you know, it's like that. They're healed immediately, they're made whole at once. And we see the same with the way that the apostles are now starting to heal, that they're carrying out exactly as Jesus did, the ministry of teaching and healing. And along the way, God is working miracles to accompany their ministry so that all people will believe. It's like life, isn't it? And you can actually tie back what we're seeing now in the gospel, in Luke's writings, to what we see in our everyday lives. This man was the same one that everyone saw over and over again at the front of the temple. This was the one that people felt sorry for, but rarely ever did anything to help. It's the man that when the worshippers saw him, probably crossed over to the other side. This was the one who would at best receive a small coin, but never anything else. This was the man who had written off any hope of ever having a life any different than what he was currently living. And the fantastic thing is, and it's the true today, and we saw it in the flesh last week when we heard Sid's story, that this man was touched by God, given faith and healed, never to be the same again. And the first thing he does with his new, now working legs, is he leaps in the air and he praises God. If you were a bystander and you'd seen that man day in, day out, you would probably think you'd had too much wine. But they recognized him as the man who'd always had, you know, that's all he hoped for was a coin or what. And now he's jumping and he's running and he's standing and he's leaping and he's giving God all the credit. And the people are probably thinking, probably better listen to Peter and John. They obviously have something we need to hear. And as we read further on into what Luke writes, we realise that he's also saying that the last days have begun. The healings will show us that the signs and wonders, but one day Jesus will return. And that's how we get that picture of future restoration. But as we look at that reading, as we think about it in our personal lives, obviously we see the man, he's lame, afflicted by his legs that are not working. But for each one of us, maybe there are times too when we felt too crippled in life by fear, by worry, by illness, by sin, by defeat. Maybe there are times that we've sat in our state and stopped moving forward. We've become content in our condition just to sit, thinking, well, it'll never change anyway. Or we just really don't know what to do or what to pray. But we see, don't we, God's truth breaking through. His reminder comes, bringing hope and healing. As we go back through those verses, verse 4, we can see that there's power in lifting up our eyes and looking to the strength and might of the one who can truly set us free. Verse 6 tells us that God often wants to give us so much more than what we've been asking for, because he sees the bigger picture. Often we only ask for what we think we want. Maybe a blessing is enough to get us through that day. Yet God has the power to answer in much bigger ways. And then his reminder comes, get up and move. Christ himself is the gate called Beautiful. May his grace cover us all today. There is power in the name of Jesus. And there'll be a day coming when all creation is restored to perfect health. In the name of Jesus, leap. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, come fill us with love for those who are disadvantaged in our world and who need your healing power. May we always be willing to stand and understand their difficulty. May we trust you, whose power is to heal and to save. Work through us to bring freedom, we pray, to your praise and glory. And Heavenly Father, whatever troubles us today, let God's mercy lift us up. Whatever joy we are blessed with, let God's grace leap in our hearts. And may each one of us praise God and witness and be witnesses to his love in each and every moment of our days. Amen. And so we'll conclude our service by singing "To God Be the Glory," but we won't conclude our worship, because I want to see you walking and leaping and praising God as you leave. Let's pray. Lord, as we've sung that chorus, may our praise be continuous as we leave this place and go back out into the world. Lord, we thank you that we know you, that we can love you, but Lord, that you first loved us. Lord, bless us beyond our expectations. May you give us your power to be a blessing to those that you put in our paths. Bless each one of us now, Lord. Amen. Just to let you know, the Big Church Read concludes this Thursday and Friday, session 5. So please read chapter 7. Well, you might as well finish the whole book now. There is an extra day on the diary. So if we want to have a time of fellowship in the following week, we'll do that. And the 30th of July, there is no men's breakfast. So please remember that. Bless you. Thank you.
Recording stopped.
There she is. It wasn't me.